You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the best city in the world, the best baseball city in front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Left, it is high, it is far, it is gone! Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Episode number 145, 4 Train Savages podcast. Rob, the Yankees are fun. Can we say that? Just took 3 out of 4 from one may say the biggest frauds in baseball. Just been waiting for this team to, you know, go over the top. Still has been there. And, you know, they want this random rivalry that doesn't really exist. But I'm in a good mood, Rob. It's a series W. It's tough to win those 4 game sets. How are we?
The Death Star, the evil empire was in full effect. And even first 2 games, man, like we were talking about it. The first game, you have Cordero opener.
You have little funny business.
Some funny business, some funky lineups, all this, and some cheating allegations.
Oh, yeah.
The coaches were going at it.
Just drama.
It was the weirdest week. Like, coming into it, I was excited for the series. You say it's a big series, and you know
it was a fun series for sure.
It was the actual cheating stuff with Herman that we'll talk about. But man,
Manoa gets rocked. Like
Manoa gets rocked.
Love that.
The way that the Toronto Blue Jays play, man, I don't know what it is. I think
they're obnoxious, dude.
They are obnoxious. I think I said it to you.
And we're not like old man sand on the lawn. Like, they're just obnoxious by human standards.
One guy made a really, I forget who it was, but a really good comparison for any like NBA fans. They are like the Memphis Grizzlies of baseball, of the way that they're just forcing this rivalry that's not there. What I would say, it is an AL East rivalry, but
it's a divisional opponent. That's what it is.
I mean, listen, all right. It's a divisional opponent.
That's good.
They're division rivals. But what the Blue Jays did this week was just very odd. Like, the idea that they're talking about the Yankees base coaches being so far outside the box, yet their first base and third base coach are doing the exact same thing. The assistant coach for the Toronto Blue Jays barking at Aaron Boone, the head coach, the head manager for the Blue Jays saying fat boy, frat boy.
Yeah, I'm not buying the frat boy. I'm really not.
Yeah, like, calling him fat boy. What are we doing? And that's why, like, I respect the Jays' talent, and they are a quality team in the division. Mm-hmm. But what they showed this week was just so odd to me. And like, you can talk smack to the, if it's the Red Sox or it's the Astros,
dude, the Sox haven't even done anything
like
this.
They haven't done that kind of, if it's one of those teams doing that to the Yankees, then it's like, you know, you understand the bad blood that's there. You can understand why they're talking. But like the Blue Jays talking all this smack, and what Vladdy said in the offseason, Manoa talking about Cole as the biggest cheater in baseball, like it just, I don't know, did like Aaron Judge piss in their cereal or something? Because I don't know what makes them do this. And I understand
he's like one of the dudes in baseball. I feel like that you're just, everyone respects. He just does everything right.
I don't know what happened, man. I get that they're the Yankees, and I understand that they're hateable, and a majority of baseball fans that aren't, you know, they don't like the Yankees. I get that. But I was just like, this, it's getting to an obscure point. And for that, then the Yankees to go out and take 3 out of 4 in Toronto. with very obscure lineups and obscure decisions and some bad plays here and there. It speaks to what the Yankees did, and I'm extremely happy from what they did this week. It was just...
Yeah, I mean, going into Toronto, like you said, Rob, Jays only lost four games at home prior to this series, and Yanks took three of them casually. And I don't know, man. A couple weeks ago, we were obviously not waving the white flag, but we were like, listen, May, if it goes bad, like May could be like deciding factors in how they approach the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And Yanks have obviously taken May by storm for the most part, at least being very competitive and showing they can hang. But dude, this team, I'm checking myself on that, dude. But Rob, this team is fun. It's way different from last year. I think from the fact that they're not getting to May and already having 50 wins under their belt. We're like, okay, this has got to come down to earth a little bit. Like, this team bangs, and they're like fun and they're athletic, and it's given good vibes. That's all.
Well, right
I can say.
Now, yeah, definitely. At once, and then you face Cincinnati, so you really got to take advantage of them this weekend.
Yeah.
And then you have to end May. You definitely have a challenging set of opponents that are then you're going to have to play. So, but they've done their job, and what mm-hmm. we said that could go into a tailspin, it looks like it's headed in the right direction. So, yeah,
you got to be happy with today, it. Rob, like,
yeah. And they're 6.5 back. So the division is definitely not out of reach. We got to see what else happens. You know, Trevino goes on the IL, but Stanton seems to be headed mm-hmm. back. He's going to be doing his rehab stuff. Canely does his rehab today. I think for Scranton. And
dare we mention that Rodon threw from 90 feet, or do we just like it? We'll just ignore that until he's on a rubber.
I got to be honest, man. I saw people on Twitter. Good. That is he was doing that before. So yeah. Until I hear that he's throwing multiple bullpen sessions facing live batters, I don't care.
No, that's fair. I knew what you were going to say.
Because I am I just saw so much. Like, he's throwing from 90 feet. It's like
he's been throwing from 90 feet for four months.
It's like, great. Like, they want, I,
the sky's blue, Rob.
I think that they said that simply because of the Herman stuff. And we know that he's going to get, or he got suspended. So I think they wanted to say, like, well, we do have,
he's back.
Yeah. Kind of. But all right.
At least Sevy pitches this weekend.
Yeah. Severino pitches this weekend. So nonetheless, they had a few guys go out and a few guys coming back.
Did
so,
we say Ian Hamilton gone for a month?
Ian Hamilton gone for a month. Josh Donaldson has a setback because apparently he sliced his finger doing something. I don't know if it was cooking in the kitchen or...
On the K Show, I know I didn't see it on Twitter, but on the K Show today, they were talking, he was putting together something for his daughter. So
okay.
maybe unboxing the new dollhouse or something.
Yeah, accidents happen. So we'll see when...
Listen, Josh, take... your time, buddy. You're fine.
For what they did this week is the best thing that could have possibly happened.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you split those, you lose one series against Tampa, but then you split against them this past weekend, and then you go out and you win a series where you have a depleted bullpen and you have shaky lineups and all mm-hmm. this. Can't ask for much more. So happy.
Yeah. And they did that. Listen, like we said before the pod, Rob, like they sat some heads. Stanton's obviously still not back, and they lost the Cole start. It was the only game they lost.
Yeah, crazy.
And they still took 3 out of 4. So it was fun baseball this week. Let's hope it
fun.
Keep that energy into Cincy.
Oh yeah, Great American Ballpark, gonna be on the road. Severino.
When was the
back.
Last time we were there?
Good two. Question.
I don't remember in the last couple of years.
I do remember. I think it was when, I think it was 2017. I
2017.
Think it was that. Because I remember, Gary and them playing there. I could be wrong on that, but.
Yeah, can we, speaking of Gary, before we get into it, what's the deal on the internet, Rob, with the sign Gary stuff?
He's on the Mets now, so we can't. But
Gary was available.
Well,
we've seen that.
Now they're saying that simply because now Trevino's down, and then Ben Rortvedt is finally you standing next to Judge today.
Yeah, he's a real human.
He's a real human. So maybe he can salvage the he can salvage the trade for Donaldson and IKF and that. But yeah, the idea
Ben
Morfett that
turns into JT Real Muto.
Gary is like, should have been on this team when he was a free agent. That is,
there's no way the Yankees,
the bridge is burned,
happen.
And I just, no way. You want to hop into the games? You want to talk a little Yankees, Blue Jays? I'm going to say Yankees Rays.
I mean, we kind of have to, Rob.
Let's do it. So I guess we'll alternate. You can take game two. I'll take game one, game two, game three, game four. We'll so game one, Franchi Cordero is the opener in this one.
Jimmy.
Oh, no. Yeah, what am I saying? Jimmy Cordero. See,
Franchi
Cordero is down. You're right. Jimmy Cordero, who, by the way, is ripped. Jimmy Cordero.
He's jacked,
ripped.
Man.
He is swole. So he actually pitched well. Or no, he did mop-up duty on
He's had a
Sunday,
decent. He's had a solid season so far.
Yeah, so he had a quick turnaround. He went two innings pitched, and he looked very good. He threw 28 pitches, no earned runs, no hits, no nothing. So a clean two innings. And then Johnny Brito, who, as David Cone continued to say through this game, was eventually going to be sent down because Severino would be back up. But now with the Domingo Herman suspension, we'll probably hang around for a little bit longer. He actually gets the win in this one, and he went 5 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, one of them that was earned, and 2 Ks. So Brito got in a little trouble, but I mean, when you're having to do an opener game, honestly, pretty pleased with it until, you know, the base traffic that ended up having to get on later and the unearned stuff that happened and the funky business that happened later in the game. But nonetheless, the way that the Yankees are scoring in this one, Judge in the top of the first opens it up with a homer to right center. Willie Calhoun with a 2-run home run.
Higgy
getting in on the party. With a little single to right, and then a bases loaded Judge walk to get it up to 5-0. Rizzo then doubles to center, gets us up to 6-0. And then it was kind of a laugher, right? It's kind of laugher going through it. Jays cut it to a 3-run game, but the Yankees were able to hold on. But the big story that came from this game was Aaron Judge.
He's a cheater, Rob.
He's a cheater. So he gets called out, or he gets a strike called low in the zone, and Boone comes out to defend him. Was not a strike call. They showed it on the AWS thing or whatever.
Per usual, it's like wasn't Google, a strike call.
And they showed it. Was not a strike. Boone comes out to argues with the umpire, gets thrown out. Obviously animated in the dugout. We saw the faces of Volpe and Glaber. They were loving it. They were saying... they were laughing, so that the dugout was animated. So Judge then in the at bat looks over, his eyes glance, and he is he said in the post game that he was looking over because of the attention that was going on in the dugout and what was happening with the commotion. Boone then heading out, and then he quickly turned back and he had a hanging slider right over the heart of the plate, hit it out dead center.
Yeah, and then the Jays sent that pitcher down the next day.
The Jays sent him down, and they were thinking there were, you know, cheating allegations. So
I mean, if the Toronto broadcast didn't say anything, like it never would have went anywhere.
Dan Shulman and the other guy, and I was hearing this stuff that like I on sports radio talking about, you know, they weren't saying that he was cheating and they pulled back on it, but they weren't really saying that he was cheating.
They were clearly
insinuating he was cheating. There's some stuff that Judge says that I don't really, just because, like, I want to believe him.
Yeah.
But, like, this I really do believe that he was, like, there was a commotion going on.
I don't even know if I believe it, honestly, but even if the Yanks had signs... Like
I mean, you
that's allowed.
Signs, but,
like I don't care either way, you know. And I respect Judge if he's like, yeah, I don't feel like admitting that. Like we found a way to figure out that they're tipping their pitches. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? You know,
honestly, I was thinking in the moment there was those that were saying, oh, it wasn't that pissed me off of the, oh, they weren't insinuating that he was cheating. They were just pointing it out. Like when you point something out. You're saying that
that's just like being tone deaf.
Like that's just
tone deaf. Excuse me.
The And then they were saying, oh, well, he was, I would be amazed if Aaron Judge had the ability to see Alejandro Kirk setting up. I mean, maybe of his like peripheral vision, he could kind of see him set up outside and or like wherever he was setting up. And that's kind of the tell that he had. Most likely he was looking somewhere in the dugout or was able to see the
it
first base coach.
It was a 6-0 game. Why would he care to do that?
Like, but what? If he was cheating, he was doing it legally. And it's part of the game. And if he did, mm-hmm. he got caught on camera. But call me naive, but I would not be surprised if he was looking over into the dugout just to see the commotion of what was happening. Because I think even before the whole thing happened, Judge was like trying to calm down Boone, like, because he was like, it's a 6-0 game. We have this ahead. And he was saying that. I mean, it was just the hesitation and the answer afterwards that you're saying, okay, which I could understand. But honestly, there are certain times with Judge where if he's talking about like an injury thing, that I won't really believe him just because they want to keep it under wraps. But like this one, when he did say it, I was like, yeah, like the context of everything of what I watched,
it adds up.
It did add up. But like, I can understand. Well, if you're all these Blue Jays fans on the internet talking about how, oh, obviously they're going to say he's cheating, and just like everyone's so hypersensitive to the cheating stuff.
Yeah.
And Domingo, it's like didn't fucking help with the next game. So, you know, that's on him.
It's like the internet hears the word cheating and everyone just instantly loses their mind.
Yeah.
Like the Yankees are completely unethical. They're doing what Houston did in 2017, 2019. Like, no, I know Jeff Passan had to come on like, ESPN or the radio or whatever today or the other day and was like, no, for anyone thinks that he's cheating, you're just very mistaken and you clearly don't really know how the game of baseball works.
Yeah, there's also levels to it, like you said with Houston, and
you can't electronically steal signs, but you can pass on information with dangling an arm, or you know,
if the first base coach picks something up. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And so
mean, what Domingo did, that was just stupid, and he should have been more aware, and even Boone said it post-game. But, like, what Judge did, if he did, in fact, glance over and do that, it's perfectly legal. It just so happens that he would have got caught on the broadcast, and the broadcast brought it up. The Jays didn't even realize it. The manager said after the fact, the reason that it got to their attention was because he saw it on – saw the conversation online after.
Yeah, because it blew up instantly.
Yeah, so that's what happened. And I really wouldn't be surprised. Call me naive, but if Judge was really looking over because of the commotion from Boone getting thrown out, that too I could see. And I mean,
listen, more of the story, I don't care why Judge looked over, honestly.
The man, that pitcher left a cookie right over the heart
Judge
of the plate
did
and put it out.
Yeah, he did exactly
and
what
then
he would do
next,
with that pitch.
The next game, he hit a home run to win them the game, and then today he hit a home run to win them the game. So
smashing the Maple Leaf, Rob.
Smashing the Maple Leaf.
Love it.
That was all the commotion in game one, and
it was just awesome to rock Manoa. Like the fact that Manoa was pitching the whole time just made everything 10 times better. The fact that their manager is yelling, "Fat boy!" It's just hilarious and ironic. And the fact that Manoa's on the mound just made it all so much better. What was Manoa? Hold on, what was Manoa's line in this? What did he give up? 4 or 5?
He walked like 7 batters.
Yeah, I don't even know what he's doing. Ugh. Glad he's not on our team.
He's having a rough year. He had a good start against us at the game I went to.
That was like his best start of the year.
Yeah, but he's had a really rough 2023. So.
Hey, man. Pitch clock, you might need some more conditioning. I don't know. I'll stop. I digress. Shall we get into game 2, Rob?
Let us do it.
All right. As we know, Herman starts this game, Rob. I'll just give you his stat line real quick. First of all, do we think he was cheating? Like, I think probably.
Probably.
that's my guess.
The umpire after the fact said that it was
The stickiest he said it was the stickiest he's ever felt, and he had trouble removing his fingers from the palm of his hands.
So I don't know. The stuff
rosin
on his
and chew,
the
like,
stuff on his pants. The stuff on his pants was definitely dip.
Yeah.
And could it have been something else? I also wouldn't be surprised, because they say you're allowed.
Be surprised
they
at all.
They say you're allowed to use rosin in baseball and a certain level that they deem legal.
But it's then so also, vague. Like, but yeah.
If you also too though, like rosin, if you go into the weeds of what you can do to really manipulate it, like the thing that Scherzer was doing, you're supposed to, you know, if you mix it with water, sweat, or whatever. But like, if you Scherzer was mixing it with like alcohol, and
well, they said they made him wash his hands with alcohol or whatever, like, and then it became even more sticky.
But what you can do with like rosin, even though it's a quote unquote legal substance, man, you could really do some stuff and say, oh, you know, you take sunscreen and do this, and you know, you're like, so. Is it legal? Yeah, but you could really do some. And I the first time around, I said with Domingo, I wasn't as hard on him, but you have to be sensitive to the fact of what happened.
I mean, you just got to be smarter. You got checked once and you almost got tossed, and then you get tossed.
So you get called out, and even Boone said after the game, can't really have that. And yeah. You have to turn to another bullpen game.
And that's what sucks, right? Because it's not like Herman gets suspended and they can call up someone in the minors. Like, we don't get that roster spot back. So like the pen suffers. But one last thing on that, and then we'll hop back into it. This is where I think MLB has a little bit of a disconnect. Pitchers are like, everyone's throwing with something. Most of it is probably sweat and rosin in that sense. But you can simply solve this problem by giving teams a regulated substance and being like, this is what you're allowed to use.
It's
you get
technically
this much
supposed
per
to be
inning.
Rosin, though.
Yeah, but you know they're mixing it with sweat. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Trevor Bauer video of where like it's clearly sticky. And in Japan, or you just do what Japan did. And you get baseballs that are tackier and have more grip to them, and you change the baseball to allow pitchers to not have to manipulate, you know, substances to throw the ball better, get a better grip. So I don't know, just get, because clearly rosin itself is not enough for pitchers, or they refuse to believe it's enough. I don't know. I feel like simple solution, the PA and MLB, you figure out what you guys can use. You come up on some sort of middle ground sticky stuff.
Yeah.
Or you say you can use, I don't know, whatever. I'm done with that. Yeah. Anything else on Herman?
No.
All righty. So Herman goes 3 innings, no hits, Rob, no walks, 2 Ks.
He's pitching like a stud, but
he was pitching well. But
the sticky stuff.
Yes, did point out, and they made it a point to point out a couple times too, that his spin rate was the same. So
it was, yeah.
Do of that, take that and do what you may. Yeah. He was probably using something, whatever. But he goes 3 innings pitch, 0 hits, 0 runs, no walks, 2 Ks. And Yanks get on the board, Rob, in the third. Glaber stays high. He's been consistent lately. Singles to center, IKF scores. Trevino gets in a scoring position, and then Bader grounds into a double play. But we get one more in, making it 2-0. And then, Rob, what, we had the Hicks game today, IKF game two, hits a homer. Did we think that? I love IKF in this role, honestly. I'm going to be honest. I can appreciate him.
Huge game for him.
Yeah,
he had it. This was his best game. He made some good plays at third. Third baseman, IKF is different.
Yeah, it's almost like you put him in positions to succeed, and, you know, players will do well. So IKF makes it 3-0 in the fifth. Then it starts getting a little wonky, Rob. Kevin Kiermaier, dude just won't go away, it feels like. Homers to center, makes it 3-1 Yanks. And then Bichette doubles to left. George Springer scores, makes it 3-2. Then Vladdy ties it up. He gets fired up, as we know, which, you know, we can appreciate that. But makes it 3-3. Tie game going into the eighth, Rob.
He just hates the Yankees.
Yeah,
so much,
for no reason. He said publicly. Well, he said there's like a reason, apparently.
I really
right?
think it's because of the stuff with his dad when they wouldn't let him in the locker room. And Steinbrenner was like, no.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. Yeah. It's probably stuff like that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Vladdy gets fired up. Tie game going into the eighth. Aaron Judge is up, Rob. He's not peeking left, right, this way, that way. He's making eye contact. Hits a 448 bomb, foot bomb. Breaks the Maple Leaf. Love that. 5-3 Yanks. And then Glaber gets some insurance in the top of the ninth. Zach Fly. IKF comes in. And then Wandy ends it. And that's that. Mm-hmm. First two games, Rob. I love that. Gausman pitched decently. Gausman pitched well in this game too, Rob, for the Jays.
Yeah.
And he cooked us the last couple times he's pitched. So I was happy that they got a couple runs off him. He struck out 10. But he's nasty. I love Kevin Gausman, as you know. I wanted him to be a Yankee when he was a Giant. So I was glad that they worked him a little bit.
Oh, by the way, speaking of, we mentioned earlier on, just side note, Gary Sanchez will be making his season debut for the Mets tomorrow.
They called him up?
Yeah, because they have nobody else.
Oh, my God. They're grasping at straws bad. Really weird, whatever they're doing over there.
Just a quick side note, because we were talking about it earlier. But I did want to say this one thing, but I want to preface
it. We got to talk about Ron in this game, too, by the way.
Also, Ron. But Glaber had a good first two offensive games in this series. He had the two RBIs in game two, as well as a walk in game one, as well as a hit. So he was doing it good, doing it offensively. But he did make some mind-numbing mistakes in both games.
He's errors
defensively, as well as some getting thrown out. I think it was at second, and then. Was it? It was trying to push the double,
and then trying to go for that double play. I don't remember if it was the eighth or the ninth or what it was, but that was like brain dead. I texted you and my buddy. I was like, that just can't happen.
Yeah.
Like,
so that
which is like, weird because Glaber was good defensively last year. Like he rated well.
Yeah. So
he's been dumb this year.
That's it's something to note.
Mm-hmm,
but,
for sure,
because he's been
Volpe struggling up the middle too a little bit.
Yeah, which we'll talk about because it was in game three. But the that's kind of like the yin and yang. We'd really like him to tighten it up a little bit, but like,
yeah,
I mean, if Judge doesn't hit that home run, and then say some different things happen here and there, we would be tying it back to say, come on, Glaber, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Just got to point that out, but
I forgot about that, honestly.
It's the nature of the player of who he is. Mm-hmm. He does at times make really stellar plays at second base. You go, there you go, Glaber, but then other times you just go, Jesus.
It's like let's understand the situation just a tad more.
Yeah.
Like that double play, I was just going, what are you thinking right now? Like how do you do that? But in this game, Rob, Yanks go from Herman, you know, he gets 9 outs, and all of a sudden the Pen needs to get 18 outs because
Jesus.
Because he got tossed, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go Herman to Ian Hamilton to Ron to Ryan Weber to Clay Holmes to Wandy. Everyone was pretty good. The pen was good. Ron has not been good. He's been going through a bad stretch. In this game, he goes one innings pitched. He got 4 hits, 3 earned runs, no walks, a strikeout, and a homer. I'm personally worried about Ron right now. But I think I'll pull up his game logs. But he's been going through a little bit of a tough stretch lately.
Today he picked it up with clean inning. So
because he got the Brandon?
Tampa
he got the save today, right?
Yes, Tampa was not kind to him either, but...
No, but to be honest, Ron hasn't been around for like a long time, really. So we haven't seen much growing pain with Ron. Like, we haven't seen him struggle at all.
It's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, so just wanted to throw that out there. Play was fine for the most part. He was fine most of the series. Mm-hmm. Garrett Cole gives him some high praise in game three. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But I think that's what I got from game two.
Yep.
Broke the Maple Leaf. Love that.
So this is the game that the Yankees drop, which you wouldn't think that they would be dropping, but
it was. That's baseball Susan.
Oh, my good
goodness gracious.
So Gerrit Cole goes six innings pitch. He also labored sort of through the first innings. I think he had a high pitch count even in the first or close to second. He had like,
he got up there really fast.
Absurd amount. But he ended up going six innings pitch, seven hits, zero earned runs, two walks, six Ks. So he limited the walks. I think his last start, he was a little too much base traffic, but he pitched 104 pitches in this game. Clay Holmes comes in, one inning pitched. Again, Jimmy Cordero came in again in this, gave up two hits with a walk. Michael King in this game gave up two walks, had a little bit of base traffic there. But this one, the Yankees offense, as well as the Blue Jays, really just can't get it going.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't win when you can't score.
You can't win when you can't score. And you get the ghost runner on second. I think they were able to move him over.
They got him over. Yeah. And Glaber struck out on a high fastball to make it two outs.
So you get him over and then you just leave him there. And then the Jays were able to get base traffic, but then Jansen was put it out into left field on double decker, and that was their sole win. But
why is he so good again? Like for a long time, he had
two home runs against us earlier.
Yeah, right? But if you look at
at least one in this year.
Yeah, but I mean, they've talked about it too. If you just look at his career stats, he's astronaut, like 100, 200 points higher OPS when he plays the Yankees. It's like very strange.
I don't know because he's
not really like a, you know, an above average hitter at all.
No.
It's kind of like, kind of reminds me of Mike Lowell on the Sox.
Yeah.
Killer.
The noteworthy one actually that gave the Jays more opportunity was the Volpe error. He also made a really awesome play up the middle.
That double
that should
play
be talked about. And my feeling on it now is he's a rookie. And his athleticism is undeniable, and he's made some really stellar plays.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the thing for him is like just to make I also think he made an error off, I could be wrong, off his left foot, left or right foot in game two. But the Yankees were able to get out of it cleanly and no scoring. I think that happened in game two. I could be wrong, but
was he one of the game like. The Cole game is the bunch of error game. That was a three-error game.
No, but the game two he did, I believe, game two or I think he had, because this one he came in late. He was in the starting lineup. But, yeah, I think
it was a tough play game three, I'll say. But you have to – you kind of got to make it.
Yeah, so I'm not going to – I want to give him the respect he deserves, and it's only a month and a half of baseball. And because I've seen so many, like we've seen him make really athletic plays, but it's just going to be he'll just have to note it and then continue to like stay on top of it and work and just limit the errors. Because like when you're a player like that with that much range, you're going to make mistakes at times. Like you're not going to, but it's going to be highlighted actually. Like I don't want anybody else in that position. I mean,
yeah.
Sure, like if Peraza was actually healthy, like maybe, but no, like it Volpe, you know, he goes out and he hits that home run today. That's a conversation for a different day when you have other guys if you wanted to shift his position. But he deserves the opportunity to stay at that position, and I'm not going to freak out in this moment in time.
Yeah,
but like down the road, I don't know. But he deserves, like there's Yankee fans online talking about his defense. I don't think now is the time to go super, super. On him, but like it's noted.
I think it's a little different than what we've dealt with Glaber's year at shortstop.
Oh, 100%,
and IKF, because IKF and Glaber, their inability was to make routine plays on a consistent basis, like at all. And they also would, like, we'd get tons of throws in the dirt to whoever was our first baseman at the time, whether it was DJ, Rizzo, or whatever it was. And then just turning double plays, like messing up on transfer. So I think it's just a little different in that aspect. And listen, I'm fine with Volpe at short. I think he'll tie it together, but definitely to be noted.
The way that I would describe it is it's The water there is not boiling. It's not even sizzling. The stove hasn't even been put on with this conversation.
Very good point. It's not even lukewarm.
I would say the pot with no water has been put on the stove.
Uh-huh.
If we need to...
That pot might be thinking about room temperature, but it's still like dreaming about it. Yeah. It's not a thing, really.
So, but we do acknowledge it. Because he has had some hiccups, noteworthy hiccups. So,
but I still think he'd have to take a nosedive for something, bad nosedive for an extended period of time.
Or you would have to have like openings or a guy that.
Yeah. I also think someone would have to get hurt.
Yeah.
That would need to bring up Peraza.
Yeah.
And
no,
yeah.
100%. 100%. It'd be
weird. A lot of things would have to happen, but noteworthy. For sure.
All right. You want to take today's game, tonight's game?
Let me just hop into it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Sorry.
I'm loving it.
Here we go. This game kind of flew, Rob. And I know we were talking about it last pot, or at least, we were both talking about it. And I don't know if I was a little stronger on Nestor or not, but I was happy with Nestor's start today for sure.
Yeah.
Coming off of this, or not off it, but coming into this game, he'd been struggling pretty mightily, and it wasn't just him giving up a couple runs here and there. He was he was getting four spot, five spotted on, seven spot. So he was struggling. So I was really looking for him to come in and just balling a little bit. And he definitely did that. Rob Nestor goes 6 innings, pitch, 5 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 1 walk, 6 Ks, only gives up 1 homer. So I was happy with Nestor's start, especially against a lineup like Toronto, in a game to win the series where they're really going to come at you trying to split it. So I was proud of Nestor here. The formula is funny in this game too, Rob, that they went Nestor to Weber to Abreu and then Ron. So
Ryan Weber was a stud.
Yeah, so I'm cool with that. Ryan Weber, the web dog. But Rob, right into this game, Judge homeward to dead center, 430 feet, makes it 2-0. First inning, he's just hitting him dead center right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not Locked pulling it. The ball, he's not slapping it the other way, and even if he was, who cares? He's hitting it 430 plus feet every time, dead center. I love it, Rob. And then Bo gets Nestor right back. So a little shaky to start off. Didn't know what I was going to get out of him after that. Makes it 2-1 Yanks. And then no score until the seventh. Hicks singles to center. Oswaldo scores. Oswaldo had a double right before that. So Oswaldo coming around a little bit, Rob. And then this was also Hicks. Good game out of Hicks as well. Makes it 3-1 Yanks. And then Vladdy in the seventh. I don't know how they survived this inning, Rob. I thought the web dog, Ryan Weber,
too.
Was about
terror cooked.
I was anticipating being on the wrong side of the scoreboard after this inning, but they get out of it somehow. 3-2 Yanks after the seventh. And then Anthony Volpe, Rob, I think it's his seventh homer of the year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Makes it 4-2 Yanks in the ninth, a massive insurance run just to alleviate a little bit of the stress for Ron. And Ron comes in, really clean ninth. And that's a 3-4, taking 3 out of 4 in Toronto. Happy with that.
Awesome. Yeah. Today, and I got to give him credit. I'm not...
They went against all their good pitchers too.
Aaron Hicks had a very good series.
Yeah.
When he got him and IKF played very well. And I think it's important because this fan base, we shit on them. We've been mean to them at times. We have to say they were important contributors in this series. Hicks gives you the insurance run, and IKF gives you that go ahead home run. Like that is. That has to be talked about. What role IKF a little bit more, I think, has a spot on this team, but is their role going to evolve to anything else than what it already has been? I don't think so, but you gotta point them out and say, well done, fellas.
100%. And I think it's so important, Rob, because when you get production out of dudes like Trevi or Hicks,
Trevi had a good first game too. Yeah, 3 hits.
Yep, he had 3 hits. Or IKF or Higgy. It just makes everything easier because you're not necessarily banking on that offense from them. So when you get it, it's just icing on the cake. And then you're like, all right, so we got production out of IKF Hicks. So now there has to be something on top. Like, you know, 1 through 6 has to do something.
Yeah.
So when you get anything out of the bottom of the lineup, it's a big, big W in my book. So shout out Hicks, man. I mean, he had 3 hits today, 1 hit on Monday or Monday. Yeah. Monday. And he walked in a run on the 16th. So good series out of Hicks, 4 hits, 4 for 9, 4 for 8. Take that.
Absolutely. All right. Let's do our savages of the series. I'm going to be selfish and I'm going to take the obvious one. Let me just get his.
What was it? It was either 4 homers. What did he hit? 4 homers a series? And then it should have been 5 if that one counted today.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Let me just get the game logs. All right. So let's just say with the cheating allegations and all this going on.
Oh, his celly too. Talk about his celly.
The celebration. Like, the Toronto Blue Jays really awoken, or the Toronto Blue Jays woke the beast in Aaron Judge. That is what they did this week. Because he had, you know, when he came back from the injury in Oakland, he wasn't as on fire. Then he started heating up against Tampa. And then he just came into this series scorching. And they woke him up with this allegation and this conversation, and he clearly responded the day that he hits the 2 home runs. Then the next day after the allegations, he comes back and he hits a home run, and then he takes a night off, and then the capper of the series, he goes ahead and starts it off with a home run again. So 4 home runs in this series for the year. It I was thinking to myself, I'm like, the Toronto Blue Jays, because Judge was having a very good year, but then he just explodes during this part, this series. And I'm like, did they just turn his MVP switch right back on? So for the year, Judge has 12 home runs, 28 RBIs, hitting .279 with a .381 on base percentage and a .993 OPS. The captain came alive in this series. And like you said, we saw the Judge notices stuff. He's not a guy that bat flips. He's not a guy that's going to show you up. But during the game in Toronto, Rogers Center in right field was chanting cheater at him. And if people noticed, he pointed out into right field and gave them a little acknowledgement. And after the fact, I think they asked him, they said, why were you pointing out into right field? And he's like, nah, you know, I was pointing out to my guys in the bullpen and saying how they were they were doing a job. And he was so pointing out that. And we saw him at first base, and he did the hand over the face like he wasn't able to see anything. So Judge, though he is a humble dude,
he's getting some savagery MVP, in him.
He's getting a little savage in him because he's like, yo, you're talking all this smack about me, calling me a cheater. Like, you can't be doing that. Like, I'm the MVP there. So, I mean, what he did this weekend or this week was nothing short of amazing, and that's what like a defending MVP does. And I really think that the Blue Jays woke him up and is like, oh, time for the MVP switch. Yeah. Time for the guy that, you know, everyone comes to the stadium to see. So Aaron Judge was a gangster this week.
100%. I mean, you could easily, I don't think it's that hard to make the case. You said it to me about a month ago, Rob, probably. You're like, you know, when do we start talking about Judge and Trout? Yada yada yada. I think
outside Ohtani, I think he's the best player in baseball.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, outside of someone that doesn't play two ways, he's the best player in baseball.
I think so. Yeah,
but he's by far the best hitter. Like, he's insane.
So good. He's so good. He's so good.
So yeah, had to go with him there. Great choice, Rob. Obviously, I do want to point out, I'm going to give a little shine to Glaber because I can't give him MVP or Savage of the Series because he had a tough day or tough series mentally with a couple of his questionable decisions. But 5 hits in the series, Rob. So I'll take that any day. I shout out Hicks. So I'm going to get a little funky with this. The line is not beautiful, but I think he played a very good role in a role he's never had before. When the Yankees decide to play funny business against a guy on the Toronto Blue Jays and Alek Manoah that talks a lot of talk for absolutely no reason.
Talker for no reason.
Yeah. Johnny Brito, dude. Five and one third, six hits, one earned run, four on the board for him, but a lot of errors or a lot of questionable decisions there. So five and one innings pitched, six hits, one earned run, two Ks. And he kind of saved the bullpen for the most part. You go into this game, you're like, all right, we're about to tax the bullpen a lot for the whole series in a big four-game set. Yanks didn't really plan on winning this game. It seemed like they sat Bader. Willie Calhoun was hitting. Trevi sat. Hicks was playing. It was like, it was a game it did not feel like they necessarily were going out to win. Mm-hmm. And especially with Jimmy in the opener, they were just like, hey, we're going to throw some shit at the wall, see what sticks. And it stuck. So I'm big on Brito bouncing back a little bit today. He's going to be in the rotation for at least two more starts while Herman is, you know, sitting in the dunce chair or whatever. Yeah. But I was happy with Brito giving them five and a third and keeping the pen rested. And unfortunately, Ian Hamilton got hurt, but it is what it is. So shout out Brito for kicking it off right.
Yeah. MVPs of sucking, but except I think this one for me,
they stink.
It's going to be MVP of stupidity in Domingo Herman.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that. You can't, you know, there's going to be a microscope because of what happened the night before, even if you did use it. And you know, I don't know if it was Cohen or someone talking about it, but like, it's a comfortability thing for pitchers. Like they feel like they're pitching naked if they're not with it. And I can understand that he wants to be in the most comfortable situation, but like, I mean, you gotta kind of understand that, like, maybe tonight I can't do it as much as I am toeing the line a little bit, but, he's going to miss two starts, but it's clear that he needs to be a part of this rotation. I mean, I hear people talking about, like, you know, Twitter was throwing out, get this guy off the team. I'm like, well, we can't really do that yet because we don't know.
Yeah. And he's also been good. Like he has been good. He'd get picked up very fast. Like he is a serviceable arm for sure.
Yeah. So, but today was, or this week, no good.
Yeah. 100%. And I also want to shout out Luis Rojas in this.
He
could have been a savage of the series. And also, I heard Michael Kay, and then we can talk about it for a little bit. And I'll get
I thought he was calling Luis Rojas fat. I'm like, what?
Is that confirmed that he wasn't? I feel like it's still possible.
It was the bench coach for. What the hell was his name?
Oh, what?
God. For the guy he was calling Fat Boy. Hold on.
I thought his comments were he was calling Bader frat boy.
So,
but I'm calling bullshit on that.
No, Meredith said it was directed at a Yankees bench coach that was like a little chubbier. Kind of like they looked the exact same weight. I don't know what his name was. I'm sorry that I don't have it ready. But I think Meredith said that he was saying fat boy.
100%.
I mean, if he was saying that to Luis Rojas, I'm like, bro, you don't see what this guy looks like. I mean, his traps are just ridiculous.
Yeah. And like, also, you're fat boy. Sorry, buddy. But like, come on.
I mean, why we have to go to fat shaming?
Yeah. Why are we doing that in the first place?
Luis Rojas, though, when the other bench coach, what the hell is his name? That guy was talking a lot. So John Schneider's the manager for Toronto, and then it's Pete Walker was the other guy with the little goatee that was talking shit to Luis Rojas, and Rojas is, when he wasn't in the box enough for them to not be stealing signs, like I can't even do it. I don't know, but yeah,
Luis Rojas, man, I like him.
Let me see what it was, who he was saying it to. But who is your MVP of
kind of rude of me, Rob, but especially after the series he just had in Tampa Bay. Like, I was tempted to give it to Ron, but I'm not going to give it to Ron because he got the save today. I'm going to give it to Rizzo. One hit in this series, 1 for 12, and a walk. That's it. Didn't do much.
Yeah.
So, nothing personal, Anthony. It just is what it is. You know, we got production at IKF, Trevi, Hicks, Glaber, Judge. Volpe hit a homer today. I just kind of had to pick you. Sorry. Yeah.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Nature of the beast. I'm sure you'll be a savage of the series in the next, you know, 10 days. Tony Riz.
Really trying to figure out who it was. It wasn't Dylan Lawson. Not Mike Harkey. Not Carlos Mendoza.
Imagine calling Dylan Lawson fat boy.
Who the hell was it? Hold on. I have it here. Oh, Brad Wilkerson. Brad Wilkerson. That's who
Brad, I think, Wilkerson.
He is their what's it called? I think he is their Brad assistant Wilkerson. Hitting coach.
Oh, okay.
Cause and like him and Yankees Schneider like yeah. Look, I mean, Schneider probably looks a little slimmer because he has a beard, but I was like, why are we fat shaming?
Yeah, it's like, just like it's
so like friendly weird. Fire, dude. What yeah. are we doing? Like, oh my goodness.
You're supposed to be on the other side of that. And you're supposed to be fighting the
oh man.
The urge to not say that.
I don't know. But that it was just wild to this yeah. whole series was just like I remember like thinking to myself, game two, I was saying it like, what am I watching? Like just so much going so on weird. With the yeah. stoppage of Herman, the stoppage of the bench coaches going at it, and it was all series, like
it lived up to it,
but the Yankees, like, they came out on top, man. Mm-hmm. And I think it
hell of a series.
We talk about, I would like to say this, and it's baseball, so it goes on and off, but the Yankees, like, people be like, this is a soulless team, but uh-huh. like this series, this week, this month, they've had their soul, and I just hope that they continue to tap yeah. into it. And there's going to be more rough times, but like I'm very happy that they came out and they, because this team, this Blue Jays team was just, they're just obnoxious.
Oh yeah.
They are so and, obnoxious.
And these Yankees are fun, Rob. Like it's, I don't know. It's kind of cool being in a fight, you know, and it's not like the same fight that they were in 2021 or 2021, where they were just like aggravatingly and like
it's a much
soul sucking watch. Like this is a tough fight in the best division in baseball by far.
Their winning percentage in the division is like 750, 730 yeah. something.
Like they're winning games that they
destroy
tough wins right now.
They destroy every other team, and then when they play each other, they beat the shit out of each
yeah.
other. Because like it's just a dog fight.
It's kind of like what the NL East was in a way last year. Even though the Braves and Mets both had a bazillion wins, but that's what it is. It's going to be like that all year.
I feel like the AL East is always kind of, there's always competition. There's always competition.
Oh, 100%. There's usually, I think it was weird because, and it still is, not necessarily weird, but like Boston got off kind of hot. Baltimore still got like a top five record in the league. Probably correct me on that. Probably like top three. I think they're second in the American League, but just things like that. I mean, the division got deep real quick. And then, Rob, how about Chris Bassett? Mets should have kept him, huh? Maybe better than Scherzer?
And Verlander, apparently,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, although I do think Verlander will be fine.
Until Rodon makes a start, I'm not ready to start talking shit about trade and signings. Because, like, fair. I am just like, I don't want to be harsh to the guy, but, you know, we got it.
Listen, when he starts pitching, we're going to be happy, though.
Hopefully.
But I hear you.
Hopefully.
As long as it's not in 2024. 11:30 a.m. game this weekend too, Rob.
Pray to the Lord. Yeah, buy your Peacock subscriptions. I don't think they're doing the free stuff. I had to buy
that's what it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
But so that's why I keep getting charged monthly. I didn't know what this thing on iTunes Store would keep billing me for.
You didn't do the 3 months free 3 months on Apple.
I don't know. I just remember I bought it when I told you I bought it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But
yeah, you should probably cancel it if you're not using it.
Probably should. But Yanks don't even have any scheduled pitchers out yet besides Sevian on the weekend. So
Well, at least they're playing the Reds, so it's not. I don't want to say, like, you got to go out Baltimore. And kind of sweep them, but, like, yeah.
Just win the series. Just don't – since they played so well against Toronto, just don't – you have to win the series. Just yeah, just take two out of three. Yeah. And then you go into – and then you play Baltimore, so.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the podcast. We appreciate you guys very much. Leave us a rate and review. Subscribe so you stay up to date with all episodes. Go follow us at Four Savages on Twitter, at Four Train Savages on Instagram, as well as TikTok. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you guys so much for listening. As we said, go out. Take care of business against Cincinnati this weekend at Great American Ballpark. And that's it for episode 145. We'll catch you next time.